Welcome to the Sugar Switch podcast, featuring Kathy Orman, health coach and author of The Sugar Switch. This is the number one short, sweet, and to the point podcast all about sugar and your health. You'll discover how to kick the sugar, eliminate cravings for good, completely reverse pre-diabetes, increase your energy, and lose weight, look good, and feel great. As well, you'll be empowered to reduce your risk for serious health issues. And now, here's your host, Kathy Orman.
Welcome. This is Kathy, and this is part four in our series about sugar and inflammation. Today we're taking a look at IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease. People these days seem to be experiencing so many digestive health issues or gut issues, and some of those issues are directly related to inflammation. This begs the question, do those issues also have a direct connection to sugar and refined foods? Here's what we'll be talking about today. Why a healthy digestive system is super important. What IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease, is, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, treatment of IBD, IBD and nutritional needs, and we'll answer the question, how is sugar connected to IBD? Let's get into it with why a healthy digestive system is super important. Having digestive issues or gut issues can be very serious. A healthy digestive system or gut is crucial to having good overall health and enough energy to do everything you want to do and need to do. When your digestive system is compromised for any number of reasons, it can affect all systems in your body and absolutely every area of your life. I know this from personal experience. Since 60 to 80% of your body's immune system is located in the gut, a healthy digestive system is super important when it comes to being able to ward off germs and infections and remain healthy. There's a direct connection between your gut and your brain, known as the brain-gut axis. This is a two-way communication between the central nervous system and the gut. The gut is where 90% of your body's serotonin is produced. Serotonin is an active component in both the brain and the gut, which means that your gut has a powerful influence on the brain-gut axis. In short, your gut changes your feelings, and your feelings change your gut. To hear more about the brain-gut connection, you may want to listen to podcast episode TSSP032, Sugar and Your Brain Part 3, Serotonin. Let's talk about what IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease, is. IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease, is a term used for two different digestive disorders where there is chronic inflammation of the digestive tract. The two disorders are ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. We will talk about each of these separately, starting with ulcerative colitis. Ulcerative colitis involves sores or ulcers and chronic inflammation deep inside the colon lining, or the large intestine lining, and the rectum. The large intestine or colon becomes inflamed. The inflammation does not go through the intestinal wall, which means there are no abnormal openings or fistulas. If the inflammation is extensive, surgery might be required to remove the affected part of the colon. The symptoms of ulcerated colitis include diarrhea, abdominal pain or cramps, fatigue, weight loss, sometimes blood in the stool, possibly fever, and a reduction of appetite. Interestingly, these are the same symptoms as Crohn's disease. There is no specific recommended dietary protocol to deal with ulcerative colitis. However, research has shown that controlling diet does help to control the symptoms. When it comes to diet, keeping a food journal can be very helpful. Recording the foods you eat and noticing the reaction your digestive system has after you eat those foods is the key to managing IBD. This will tell you which foods to be careful about or completely avoid, and which foods are okay for your digestive system without causing a digestive flare-up. It puts you in a position of being able to choose which foods to eat, and it gives you power over the situation. Here are some dietary tips that could help ulcerative colitis. Increase omega-3 fatty acids in your diet, which have an anti-inflammatory effect on the body. Omega-3s are found in fatty fish like salmon, sardines, herring, and mackerel. Be careful to consume a moderate amount of fiber. Fiber is important for bowel health. However, if you have ulcerative colitis, too much fiber can cause abdominal pain and diarrhea. Try having smaller, more frequent meals packed with nutrition to see if this is helpful for your digestion. This strategy could increase overall nutrition. If your appetite is poor and you have a difficult time digesting solid foods, a nutritional supplement could be the answer. This could help you get all the nutrition you require to maintain good health. When a flare-up happens, there are three things you can do that would help. Number one, temporarily reduce or stop consuming fresh fruits, prunes, vegetables, and caffeinated beverages because these foods may increase stool output. Note, this should be a temporary strategy, not long-term, because fresh foods, particularly vegetables, contain nutrients that are needed for overall health and wellness. Number two, reduce alcohol consumption. Number three, drastically reduce or permanently eliminate refined sugars and sweets, particularly soft drinks, candy, and juices. These foods could increase the amount of water pulled into your intestine, which could contribute to watery stools. So what can you do after a flare-up? Here are some tips that apply to recovering from either an ulcerative colitis flare-up or a Crohn's flare-up. Start by having liquids and progress towards solid foods, adding one or two foods per day. Here is a generally recommended list of first foods after a flare-up. Water or diluted juices, not soft drinks. Applesauce, unsweetened. Canned fruit, unsweetened. Oatmeal, plain chicken, turkey, or fish. Cooked eggs or egg substitutes. Mashed potato, rice, or noodles. And bread, sourdough, or white. Add foods with fiber slowly as tolerated. This would include cooked vegetables, canned or cooked fruit, unsweetened, and starches like cooked cereals, whole wheat noodles, or tortillas. Work towards consuming a balanced diet that encompasses a wide variety of healthy foods so you get the nutrition your body needs for ultimate health. This includes fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean protein, and dairy products. It is really important to keep a food journal and make notes about flare-ups. Be sure to record such details as when the flare-up happened, time of day, what foods you ate, what reaction they caused in your gut, how long the flare-up lasted, what you did in response to the flare-up, and how it worked. All of these details give you tools to be able to make better food choices in the future so that you can possibly avoid future flare-ups. Let's talk about Crohn's disease. Crohn's disease involves inflammation of the digestive tract lining, which spreads to a deep level in the tissues. Any part of the digestive tract can be affected by inflammation from Crohn's disease. The inflammation can go through the intestinal wall, and that can have many negative effects within the digestive tract, such as narrowing, called strictures, abnormal openings, called fistulas, malabsorption of nutrients, and it could require surgery to resection portions of the digestive tract. Crohn's disease has the same symptoms as ulcerative colitis. This includes diarrhea, abdominal pain or cramps, fatigue, weight loss, sometimes blood in the stool, possibly fever, and a reduction of appetite. Just like ulcerative colitis, keeping a food journal can be very helpful for Crohn's disease. Record the foods you eat, then notice and record the reaction your digestive system has in response to those foods. This is the key to managing IBD, and it will tell you which foods to be careful about or completely avoid, and which foods are good for your body as they do not cause flare-ups. It puts you in a position of being able to choose the best foods for your digestion, and it gives you power over the situation. Crohn's disease has some possible dietary issues that you would need to discuss with your doctor or your medical care provider, such as lactose intolerance. Your doctor can order a test to confirm if you have lactose intolerance. If you are lactose intolerant, you will likely have bloating, gas, cramps, and diarrhea within 90 minutes of consuming dairy products. Fat malabsorption. This could be an issue if you have oily and foul-smelling stools. This should be discussed with your doctor. A low-fat diet would help, although you would need to take care to include healthy foods because many low-fat, no-fat foods have added sugar in them to make up for the missing taste of the fat that has been removed. There are some dietary tips that could help Crohn's disease, such as be careful to consume a moderate amount of fiber. Fiber is important for bowel health. However, if you have Crohn's disease, too much fiber can cause abdominal pain and diarrhea. Smaller, more frequent meals packed with nutrition are often better tolerated with Crohn's disease. This strategy could help to increase overall nutrition. If your appetite is poor and you have a difficult time digesting solid foods, a nutritional supplement could be very helpful. This will support your body in getting all the nutrition that is required to maintain good health. When a flare-up happens, here are some things you could do that could help. If you have narrowing of the digestive tract or strictures, it's very important to avoid beans, seeds, nuts, and foods that are kernels. Temporarily reduce or stop consuming fresh fruits, prunes, vegetables, and caffeinated beverages because these foods may increase stool output. Note, this should be a temporary strategy, not long-term, because fresh foods, particularly vegetables, contain nutrients that are needed for overall health and wellness. After a flare-up, the recommended tips for Crohn's are the same as the tips talked about after an ulcerative colitis flare-up. Let's touch on treatment of IBD. Diagnosis of digestive issues needs to be done properly by trained medical professionals that specialize in digestive health care. The treatment protocol for IBD involves either medication with corticosteroids or surgery, and there are side effects that go with either form of treatment, including specific nutritional needs. The digestive system is extremely complex. A person should never self-diagnose any digestive issues or attempt treatment for digestive issues without the advice of qualified medical professionals. I'm going to repeat that because it is so important. A person should never self-diagnose any digestive issues or attempt treatment for digestive issues without the advice of qualified medical professionals. Let's talk about IBD and nutritional needs. The effects of having inflammatory bowel disease can cause nutritional deficiencies. This happens for several reasons. You may not be getting enough food due to nausea, loss of appetite, or abdominal pain. Severe intestinal inflammation can cause malabsorption of nutrients, as in the case of Crohn's disease. Inflammation or infection can increase your nutritional requirements. IBD flare-ups can cause loss of protein and nutritional losses from diarrhea and bleeding. There are some specific nutritional needs that can arise with ulcerative colitis and with Crohn's disease. Again, a qualified medical professional should be consulted about possible specific nutritional requirements. In many cases, the nutrients might be acquired through specific foods. For ulcerative colitis, the following nutrients might be needed: folate and calcium. These levels could be affected by medications that treat IBD. Magnesium, there's a risk of deficiency due to diarrhea. Iron, there's a risk of deficiency due to blood loss from ulcers in the colon. And potassium, there's a risk of deficiency from loss of blood, diarrhea, vomiting, or medications that treat IBD. For Crohn's disease, the following nutrients may be needed. Vitamin B12, there's a risk of deficiency from inflammation or removal of the ileum, lower small intestine. Folate, there's a risk of deficiency from medication or inflammation or removal of the jejunum, which is the middle of the small intestine. Vitamin A, there's a risk of deficiency from fat malabsorption. Vitamins D, E, and K, there's a risk of deficiency from fat malabsorption or from inflammation or removal of parts of the small intestine. Magnesium, there's a risk of deficiency from fluid loss through fistulas or diarrhea or from inflammation or removal of parts of the small intestine. Zinc, there's a risk of deficiency from fluid loss through fistulas or diarrhea, medication to treat IBD or inflammation. Potassium, there's a risk of deficiency from vomiting, diarrhea, or medication to treat IBD. Calcium, there's a risk of deficiency from medication to treat IBD, lactose intolerance, fat malabsorption, or inflammation. So how is sugar connected to IBD? At one time, medical professionals believed that IBD was caused by consuming a high amount of sugar and refined foods. More recent research has shown that a poor diet full of sugar will certainly aggravate IBD, but it is not the root cause. The root cause of IBD is still unknown. Sugar has been known to cause inflammation in many parts of the body, including being linked to some digestive issues. Sugar's connection with IBD is that it can make both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease worse. Sugar and refined foods contain zero nutrition. That means they don't contribute to the body's nutritional needs. The body can lose nutrition through the effects of IBD. And sugar doesn't help your body's energy level, which is needed to heal any issues within the digestive system. Here's the 1 minute recap. We talked about several reasons why a healthy digestive system is super important. We talked about what IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease, is. We looked at ulcerative colitis. We looked at Crohn's disease. We touched on treatment of IBD, and we discussed IBD and specific nutritional needs. Then we talked a little bit about the connection between sugar and IBD. Here's the bottom line. Digestive issues like inflammatory bowel disease can be extremely serious and affect all systems in your body. It's important to get a proper diagnosis and the best help from qualified medical professionals, not to self-diagnose and treat digestive issues totally on your own. Sugar and refined foods do not contain any nutrition, and they've been known to cause inflammation in many parts of the body. Sugar can certainly aggravate any existing digestive issues, including inflammatory bowel disease. So, all in all, it's very beneficial to switch out sugar and refined foods and switch in nutrient-dense foods that support healthy digestion and great overall health and energy. If you feel that sugar and refined foods are dragging you down and you're ready to switch out cravings and sugar issues and switch in vibrant health and exuberant energy, I invite you to connect with me. Go to www.connectwithkathy.as.me and book a time on my online calendar for a complimentary 30-minute chat. The Sugar Switch Podcast is the only short, sweet, and to-the-point podcast program with a switch in perspective about nutrition, sugar, and your health. You'll find every episode on our podcast website, thesugarswitchpodcast.com. You'll also find us on Apple Podcasts, Blueberry, TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and on Android. If you're loving the information and value you get from listening to the Sugar Switch Podcast, please share it with everyone you know so others can benefit too. Thanks so much in advance. Stay tuned to the Sugar Switch Podcast every week for more interesting and informative episodes. We have more episodes coming up in this series of sugar and inflammation, and we have other exciting series in the works too, so don't miss out. Until next time, go on out there and live the sweet life without sugar. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining Kathy on the Sugar Switch Podcast. If you would like to be free of sugar and relentless cravings, increase your energy all day, every day, reverse pre-diabetes, and totally avoid serious health issues like diabetes, inflammation, and heart and stroke issues, Kathy Orman would love to connect with you. Find out how the Sugar Switch system can help you be the healthiest you can be. Contact Kathy Orman at www.thesugarswitchpodcast.com. Tune in next week for more great info on the Sugar Switch Podcast. And we'd love it if you'd submit a review for the Sugar Switch Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.